never leave the ground. He said only angels know how to fly.
Michelle Franzen, the first high-level meeting between the U.S. and Russia in 3 years took place in Saudi Arabia today. The U.S. delegation, headed by Secretary of State Marco Rubio, is described as the first step in peace talks to end the war in Ukraine. But Ukraine and U.S. allies were not at the table. Rubio says all sides will likely have to make concessions, but didn't say what Russia is expected to give up for invading Ukraine.
We're not going to pre-negotiate an end to this conflict. These are the kinds of things that have to happen through hard and difficult diplomacy in closed rooms over a period of time.
Authorities in Canada say 19 have been released from the hospital after a Delta jet flipped yesterday during landing at Toronto Pearson Airport. No one died. At least 25 states under snow and ice alerts today, with bitter cold stretching from the south to New England. And the death toll from severe storms this week has risen to 15. Most of those fatalities are in Kentucky. This is ABC News. A new study on abortion shows a major increase in demand and costs in the states that are still allowing the procedure.
A study published today in the Journal of the American Medical Association says 30% of the abortions performed in Colorado are for women who've come from out of state, double the ratio from 2020 when the Texas law took effect. That same study found that the added demand for abortion services from beyond its borders has led to delays and higher costs within Colorado.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Two previous studies published in JAMA showed an increase in infant mortality in states with abortion bans. A painting by the British street artist Banksy that's being sold by a member of the 90s punk rock group Blink 182 could fetch millions of dollars at auction. Sotheby's is estimating crude oil could get $6 million for auction next month. The painting, which has an environmental theme, is being sold by bassist Mark Hoppus. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Lowe's knows that your deadlines don't change, even when your job does. But with Lowe's Buy Online, Pick Up in Store, we'll help you adjust on the fly. And when you absolutely can't leave the project, we can deliver to your job site as soon as same day. Lowe's knows pros. We help you save. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. The governor unveils his state budget tonight.
Governor Tony Evers delivers his 2025-27 biennial budget from the Assembly Chambers of the Wisconsin State Capitol. Evers' remarks begin at 7 p.m. and will be live-streamed on the governor's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Evers has already revealed portions of his budget plan, including an overhaul of Wisconsin's corrections system, dealing with PFAS contamination. examination of Wisconsin's water and investments to support agriculture and reduce the costs of child care. Republican legislative leaders and the co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee will hold a press conference following Evers' address. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A three-candidate primary for state superintendent of public instruction is the only statewide race on the ballot today. Speaking on WISN-TV's Up Front, one of two challengers to incumbent Jill Underley, Sauk Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright, says he's ready to work with Republicans.
Republicans have the majority in both the Assembly and the Senate. Like, we need to work with them. I'm a superintendent in Sauk County, which is the most purple county in the entire state.
Education consultant Brittany Kinzer of Milwaukee is seen as the most conservative of the candidates, but characterizes herself as a moderate. The top two finishers advance to the April general election. Much-needed snow is helping preparations for this weekend's American Birkebeiner cross-country ski race in northern Wisconsin. Berkey Executive Director Ben Popp says melting won't be an issue.
Temperatures we know this week are going to be really, really cold, which are in our favor for once, that we really like this cold weather. And that, along with additional grooming of the trail, we believe is going to set up for a really great 51st American Birkebeiner.
Over 14,000 skiers from across the U.S. and around the world are expected for the Berkey. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Feeling very frigid today with high temperatures barely tapping the single digits. This means we'll be feeling sub-zero all day today with another cold weather advisory going into effect tonight, where wind chills will drop us back down to feeling about 30 below. Stay warm. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath and Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 1 below 0.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
5 Top Producer Summit, and it has already been a busy morning here in Kansas City. We've got the first sit-down conversation with the new USDA secretary. We'll meet with the Next Gen and Women in Ag winners, and we'll talk some of the issues on the minds of farmers here at TPS 2025.
Live from Top Producer Summit in snowy Kansas City via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Wow.
Then it's Next Gen winner Dalton Dildine and Kimberly Ratcliffe, the Women in Ag winner. And later, Senator Roger Marshall, MD from Kansas. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you so much. Davis, is that you?
It's me right here.
Is that sitting, sitting right next to me?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a city of dreams here, my friend.
Wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah.
Big Apple Joe.
Big Apple Joe's here, too. Big Apple Joe.
Hi.
It's amazing. It is amazing. Amazing. Hey, and a big thank you to BASF for making it possible for us to bring you coverage this morning from Top Producer Summit. Boy, like I said, it has already been a busy morning.
Bro, it's an absolute circus down here. This is terrific. People are excited. They're enthused. We've got dignitaries afoot.
Yes, yes, no doubt about it. Just over the weekend, we learned that brand new USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins would be here with us. And she did the opening comments.
Yeah.
She did the opening session for us here. Mm-hmm. At TPS, and it was it was really cool to see her and Senator Marshall on stage at the same time, having a conversation about what she has learned in her first 3 days.
Wow!
Her first 3 days as USDA secretary. And here's the thing: this is not her first 3 days as USDA secretary.
I wouldn't think so.
Good grief.
And you want to talk, this doesn't just fall out of the sky.
You
want to
talk about the planning and the preparation that has gone into Trump 2.0.
Yep.
We've talked about it a million times. That four-year pause in there, that was a stage-setting time period for this administration. And brand new Secretary Rollins was in on it.
Yeah.
And she has... she is prepped and ready to go for her new position.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's very exciting.
Cool. All right. We've got a lot of ground that we are going to cover today. And, of course, we've got to get to some of the award winners here at Top Racer. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to getting to know Dalton and Kimberly later in the show. All right, let's go ahead and get started with the news. What do you got?
Man. I'll start with the weather. An Arctic air mass will continue to plunge southward through the central U.S. this week with widespread record-breaking cold likely. Sub-freezing temperatures are likely to reach as far south as the Gulf Coast. Heavy snow will move from the Rockies this morning across the central plains and Ozarks, Tennessee Valley, and North Carolina into the southern mid-Atlantic states through Wednesday. It's snowy here in Kansas City today, Chip. Snowy and cold.
And cold. Yeah. Negative 15 degrees in northeast Iowa this morning.
It's not that cold here.
Negative 26. It's colder tomorrow morning.
Gold prices rose for a second straight session on Tuesday, but traded below the all-time high as uncertainty around President Trump's tariff plans continued to fuel economic growth concerns and safe haven flows into bullion. This is interesting, Chip. Cocoa futures have climbed more than 80% since this time last year. The price of a ton of cocoa butter is practically the price of a small car. That, according to Jody Gaines, an ag commodity analyst, she told that to the Wall Street Journal. U.S. and Russian officials met in Riyadh to discuss ending the war in Ukraine, with Russia demanding NATO formally rule out Ukraine's membership. The U.S. and Russia will appoint teams to negotiate an end to the war in Ukraine, quote, as soon as possible, the State Department said Tuesday. This after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he would never accept a peace deal brokered between the Trump administration and Russia without Ukraine's involvement. And looking over to the Fed, Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller has minimized concerns about inflationary risks linked to former President Trump's proposed tariffs. He believes any price increases would be temporary and minor, with limited impact on monetary policy decisions. And the Trump administration is rolling out a new strategy to combat highly pathogenic avian influenza, moving away from mass culling of infected flocks. Spearheaded by National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett and USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins, the plan prioritizes enhanced biosecurity measures and medication to control the spread of the virus, moving away from these mass culls, Chip.
That's one of the things that we talked about with Secretary Rollins. Just exactly how do you plan for that? How do you make that transition in how we are dealing with a disease that has affected so many birds already?
Yeah.
So that's part of the conversation.
Very good.
Yep.
Well, President Trump brushed off reports that the European Union may impose restrictions on U.S. soybean and food imports due to differing standards, warning that such measures would ultimately harm Europe. Millions of Americans could see reduced food assistance as House Republicans propose major budget cuts, including a $230 billion reduction to USDA. While details on SNAP-specific cuts remain uncertain, a previous GOP report suggests a 22% reduction. Democrats warn the cuts would hurt farmers, truckers, and grocery workers, while USDA reviews alleged financial mismanagement of SNAP funds under the Biden administration. Chip?
Boy, I tell you what, Doge is something that we're going to be keeping a very close eye on here. No question about it. All right, let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal Milk. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm cold, but I'm good, Chip.
Yeah, well, you know, once you get in from doing chores, it's time to get warmed up now.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Okay, let's talk about getting some better results by putting people first. What do you got?
Well, you know, I kind of joke somewhat. Are we in the cow business or are we a people business? And dairy farmers want to say cows, but they're learning to say people. So I was able to speak with Tom Wall. You know Tom, the dairy coach. He spoke on AgriTalk before. He came to our milk business conference and he just says, you know, it's vital that employees are seen not just as a cost to the business, but as a key ingredient that make up the success. And for example, long-term employees, if you look at them, they're saving money. They're saving that dairy money. There's lower vet bills. There's reduced equipment repairs. And the herd's overall healthier because of them and other employees. So obviously they're in assets. So owners need to focus on that chip instead of just looking at that labor bill. Jared Dupenheiser from Proterra Genetics, he also has managed a 10,000-gallon dairy in Wisconsin and says, you know, let's talk about establishing positive culture. And I know producers are kind of rolling their eyes, but you know what? Whether you're talking about it or not, culture is being established. So let's make it defined to being positive. And one way to do that, Chip, is by the employees want to see what is the farm's goals? How am I helping to that? And it might be as simple as what Jared says, put on a whiteboard out there in the parlor and just write them out. Talk about the goals. Like I said, the cows are the easy part for dairy farmers. The challenge is to become just as good with our employees, right?
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. Give them that sense of ownership. If the success of the farm, give them the responsibility. And they, if they're a good employee, they're going to respond to it. No question.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good stuff, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. All right, her first sit-down interview. We were lucky enough to get it, guys, and it is coming your way next. We've got USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins up next here on AgriTalk.
As you plan the future of your farm, you've probably noticed something. It takes more than money. It takes a lending partner that keeps you fully prepared to leap when land becomes available. That's why FBN Finance created a simple, easy pre-qualification process valid for up to 180 days. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You took the FFA members adhere to a code of ethics to promote their own development and make a positive difference in the lives of others. They strive to be courteous, honest, and fair, modest in winning and generous in defeat, developing the traits of great leadership. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for all of their hard work throughout the year, this FFA salute brought to you by Compeer Financial, a farm credit cooperative serving and supporting agriculture and rural communities.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. We are live at Producer Summit in Kansas City, and
And USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins opened the event for us here in Kansas City. Welcome to Top Producer Summit.
Oh, Chip, it's such a joy to be here. You know, I was just confirmed a couple of days ago, but I really wanted to get out into the country, and I really wanted the opportunity for a lot of these producers and our ag community to get to know me. Yeah. So when I heard about this one, I may have invited myself, actually. So that couldn't have happened, but I'm so happy to be here.
We're glad that you are here. There's no question. Your opening comments, along with Senator Marshall, talking about going out and barnstorming the world, created a little bit of a buzz in the room, I will admit. Is that what the tariffs are intended for, is to open the doors for some of those conversations?
Well, I think that the trade negotiations, the tariffs, which we all know President Trump, he has long talked about them. He believes they're a really important tool in his toolkit.
Yeah.
And I think they go hand in hand. You know, the president is really focused on getting America back to work, back to producing, putting America first again. And we saw the numbers slide in the last administration. Part of that is tariffs. But my perspective is, while we're having that conversation, let's get out around the world and let's go cut these deals. Let's use the leverage we have right now. I mean, I think we're all seeing President Trump won not just the Electoral College.
Right.
He won a mandate from the American people. And so the world is paying attention. It is a different day today than it was in week three, 8 years ago in Trump won. And so how do we take advantage of that for our community? And that's what I'm focused on.
Excellent. Excellent. I, for one, was encouraged by the fact that your first official meeting after being sworn in, and it was literally within a couple of hours, was on bird flu, HPAI.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What is the status and what does it mean moving away from culling the infected flocks? What's the plan?
Well, we are still working on the plan right now. Clearly, this is a massive issue for our poultry producers, especially our egg layers, our that segment of the community. Mm-hmm. And so ensuring that we have a plan, not just for the short term to bring down egg prices, which the president's very focused on, but for the long term. What are the best practices around the world? Why in America have we been hit so hard? Why did the last USDA a couple of years ago, they recognized it as a major issue, but not many steps were taken. So we've got really smart people on this right now, not just from within the USDA, but over at the White House who are really focused on it. Yeah. I've been talking to governors. I've been talking to the companies that are facing this. I've been talking to grocery. I mean, we've been talking to everyone, trying to come up with talk about the toolkit, a big toolkit.
Yep.
To be able to really approach this and hopefully figure out a way to, again, solve it for the long term.
Will vaccines be part of one of the tools in the toolkit?
Vaccines are being discussed right now.
Okay.
I think that there is a lot of opinion on that on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working through all of that right now.
Okay. Disaster aid, economic aid, it was approved by the last Congress. It's been a little, I shouldn't even say that, it's a little slow coming out. But what is the status? What should we expect?
It's got to move quickly.
Okay.
And now that I'm there, that is, other than avian flu, that's probably the, when I walk out of here, I'll jump on the phone and we'll start figuring out, again, why that isn't moving more quickly, what we need to do. We've got the team in place. But as you can imagine, you know, I just got confirmed a couple days ago. We have the 8 undersecretaries at USDA, one that manages this portfolio. He hasn't even had his hearing yet. So we're kind of, we're a little bit of band-aiding and duct taping and bubble gumming this thing together. But please know, and all of your listeners and those watching on TV should know, that this is of the highest priority.
Okay.
We have the best team in place, and we are going to move as quickly as humanly possible.
Oh, I'm sure that when you sat down and took a look at what was happening out there with all of the IRA money that was out across the countryside, and you decided to put a freeze on some of that conservation money. EQIP is one of the programs that everybody kind of points to. What's the status of that? Is that going to be unfrozen?
Well, we are talking about that right now. Any commitments that were made previously, we will, of course, fulfill those commitments. That's the only way to do it. Everything that is forward-leaning, that's what we're really focusing on, reevaluating. In the current environment.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. You also talked with the group about modernizing USDA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what some of the job cuts are about?
I think that anytime And I worked in the last federal government under President Trump. I have a long history in state government, even in a conservative state like Texas. What are your metrics for success? How do you measure whether what you are being called to do and what the taxpayers are funding is actually working? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we'll ever have another chance again to really look deeply at these massive government programs. And it isn't just obviously on the ag side, but as I mentioned earlier today, it's on the food stamp side. And we're spending a lot of money, a lot of money. It's 80% of the USDA budget on that. So how do we look at and all of the above? What are the metrics for success? How do we measure whether we're being successful? Why do these programs keep growing when in fact the goal is to move people off of the program, especially on the food stamp side? So these are all questions that we're asking right now, and we've got really good people digging in.
Okay, a couple of follow-ups to those. The cuts that are being looked at on the SNAP side of thing, how might that impact the farm bill conversation? Have you you spent some time with Senator Marshall? He's big into the farm bill.
That's right.
What's the conversation then?
Well, and I just talked to Senator Bozeman last week about it. I talked to Senator Klobuchar. I mean, we have to get a farm bill, right? This is an absolute priority. And so what can we be doing right now as Congress is focused on reconciliation and some of the, you know, the next tax cut package from President Trump? But what should we be doing right now to lay the groundwork to hopefully allow a smooth, if I may be so bold, farm bill process where there will obviously be some negotiations, but I feel confident. I feel like it's a new day. I had an amazing experience in my confirmation process. I didn't have a unanimous vote on the floor of the Senate, but I had a unanimous vote out of the committee.
Right.
I had really productive conversations with every Democrat on that committee. I spent almost an hour with every one of them, have all their cell phone numbers. We're actually in communication, not just with the Republican side, but the Democrat side. And for me, it's about building those relationships so that we can work together to collaborate, to agree to disagree, but find that 80-85% where we can all agree and then move it forward.
Okay. Doge agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at some of the checkoff programs, what should we expect?
That is to be determined. I have not even begun to look at those. Okay. I know we've got a team looking at them. We're going to get through the next few weeks and then we'll start evaluating.
Okay. Back to the job cuts real quick. They've happened, I guess I would say, in a hurry. Mm-hmm. How do we know that we're cutting the right jobs?
Well, now is the process to start going back and evaluating. And I was not as involved in the initial round. I approved it and I'll take full responsibility. But now, you know, I was talking to Senator Marshall yesterday about a lab in Kansas that had some really important people that were part of that email. Yes. And so I know the team back in Washington, led by our chief of staff and our amazing team there, are taking every one of those calls right now and reevaluating every single decision. So that is the commitment as well, that this is not a one and done, good luck, goodbye. This is a, all right, this was the first step. Now let's evaluate and move from there.
Okay. All right. You mentioned the ag trade deficit on stage two. This is something that has been obviously a priority for President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
How do we go about fixing the ag trade deficit?
Yeah, this is a really big priority for me. How do we move out across the world? How do we engage new trade partners? How do we expand market access? How do we ensure that our producers have the ability? You know, $45 billion trade deficit, when President Trump left, it was zero. So in 4 years, $45 billion, that's a lot of money that has now been taken out of our farmers and ranchers' pockets that just disappeared. So I am very bullish, though, on President's mandate, his relationships he's building across the world, how incredibly aggressive he is. I realize his style is not for everyone, but it is that style that will get done what we need to get done, I believe, for our producers. And I will be hopefully the tip of that spear along with our team out across the world working on it.
Excellent. We've only got about 45 seconds left, but I got to ask you, in 2 years, what does success look like for you?
In 2 years, hopefully that trade deficit has come way down. In 2 years, we've gotten our arms around the avian bird flu and we have got the price of eggs back down, but our poultry farmers aren't in the straits they're in right now. In 2 years, we have modernized the USDA to allow it to be more customer friendly. We are stewards for our ag community. We are not the bosses. We're not federal employees. We are the stewards for those who are out on our farmland and on our ranches and in our ag community. In 2 years, hopefully it's a much seamless, more smooth process for them as they're working with the USDA. In 2 years, hopefully we'll look back at a farm bill that was passed the year before that that does the job that it needs to do.
Excellent. Brooke Rollins, USDA Secretary, brand new in the job.
3 days.
Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you, Chip. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk down 8 to 1962, April down 2 to 1920, May down 2 to 1919, June milk down 2 at 1860. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets are lower in some of the nearby months on technical selling, but higher in some of the deferred contracts after boxed beef prices came out mixed. Feeder cattle though continue to move mostly higher on expectations for strength in demand in the countryside later this week, along with technical buying. Technical buying also helping to support the hog markets today, as they have triple-digit gains in many contracts. February live cattle down 30 cents to 197.45. March feeder cattle up 312 to 269.47. April hogs up $1.07 to 93.67. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving up mostly higher. Weekly exports inspections for corn were strong at 1.611 million metric tons. Meanwhile, the soybeans mostly higher, even though weekly export inspections were somewhat slower at 720,000 metric tons, but still not too far off the trade guess. Wheat markets mostly higher. MATIF wheat prices moving mostly higher. That cold and snow over the plains this week also helping to support the market. New crop corn up 5 1/4 to 4.78 1/4. New crop beans up 7 1/4 to 10.59 1/4. March wheat up 6 3/4.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down. but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
That you can do that without moving your lips we're doing that.
It's skill. It's a skill.
It's a real skill.
I'm not one to brag, but yeah.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am Jeff, along with Davis and Big Apple Joe. We are at Top Producer Summit in Kansas City. A big thank you to BASF for making our coverage from TPS possible this morning. With that in mind, let's go ahead and make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us now, Scott Kay with BASF. Scott, it's good to talk to you again. It's good to be with you at TPS again.
Yeah, it's great to be a top producer. There's a buzz in the air here today.
Yeah, you bet there is. And Secretary Rollins certainly helped us kick that off. And you and I are going to have a conversation with Senator Marshall at the end of the show, so stick around for that. First things first, we take a look at what has happened to net farm income and some of the cash flow squeeze that is happening out there. What have you got at BASF to help?
Yeah, first of all, you know, last night at dinner, we hosted some growers with BASF, and their input was, one, you know, that this liquidity is a big topic with them.
Yep.
But what BASF did in response to that was, you know, because interest rates now, farmers 6%, 7%, 8% interest,
yep.
We offered 0% financing. And we did that through normal third-party lenders like John Deere Finance, Rabo. We also offered this year through CFA and some other companies. So growers just need to ask their local retailer how they get their hands on that 0% financing from BASF. And the beauty is they have up till March 15th to make that decision. So they got, if they made some decisions already, great. I would go ahead and move and make those in-season decisions now. And then they aren't due till harvest terms, so November. Okay. So
excellent. Let's look back just a little bit. What did you learn, and what did BASF learn from that 2024 growing season?
Well, I think, you know, for me, the big billboard sign went up when the USDA reported here not too long ago saying they had a correction of 5% in the market of what they thought yield was.
Right.
And I started thinking back to our own farm in Iowa where we're putting in a lot of lower bushel weighted yield, but that wasn't the only reason. Some of that occurred because people gave up on the plan.
Yeah.
Like I know people who had disease, even tar spot, that didn't follow through on their Veltima application, or decided not to follow through on their Revilock in the South application. And so to me, you know, I think if people had a chance to do that over, they really would.
Yep. Yep. Don't quit on the crop. Keep going, man.
Yeah. Don't quit on the crop. I think that's the number one theme. Make a plan and stick to it, because I don't know any banker that wants fewer bushels in this environment.
No, we certainly do not. No question about it. Yeah. Stick around. I want to talk more at the end of the show. Okay?
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right. That's Scott Kay with BASF. All right. Joining us right now, we've got Dalton Dildine. He is the Next Gen Award winner here at Top Producer Summit. Dalton, welcome to AgriTalk, man. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm
glad you're
it.
Here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's, you know, I've known some of the Next Gen winners. You're entering a peer group now that is, it's as exclusive. It's more exclusive than the finalists. Dalton went for Top Producer of the Year. This is, it's a really cool group that you're getting into. Talk to me about your operation. Where is it? What do you do?
So we farm in Northeast Arkansas. We farm about 6,000 acres, cotton, soybeans, corn, rice, wheat, winter wheat. We're all row crop farmers, you know, flat. Yeah. Arkansas.
Yeah, flat as can be down there, no doubt about it. So what is your market? Where is it? An export market? Is it a domestic market? What are you looking at?
We sell primarily to the river. We've got several options that we can sell to. So we've got a benefit that we don't have one outlet, you know, to sell to. We've got many options, and it makes it nice, or it helps, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes it great if you've got those options for you when you're looking at your marketing. What makes your operation unique, Dalton?
Well, we just try to be really efficient in everything we do. We went into recently, we bought a set of grain bins and have revamped them during a time when we had a huge loss in basis. So that's kind of been where we've been.
So those grain bins, you're becoming more of a merchandiser as well as a marketer, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. They've been a lot to go into. Yeah. We have farmed for next year. We suspect to be a centennial farm. So we've went up to last year or 2022. We bought them, and before then we didn't have grain bins. So I went from zero grain bins to the facility we have, which was built in 1946. So it's really old as it is. It was a commercial facility, and just taking on a huge, facility
infrastructure,
and then bring it up to modernization. So it's got everything a brand new system would have.
What? Okay, don't get it wrong how I'm asking this. What made you think that this would work?
Well, at the time it was, you can rent it for this, or I can say this, it was less than pennies on the dollar to buy. I'm in it less. I've got 750,000 bushel of storage. I've got all in, able to use that much for about a 250,000 bushel facility. So I'm in the same money and can do it a whole lot faster than
3-to-1, man.
Yeah. So
3-to-1 on your cost. Mm-hmm. That is outstanding. Good for you. Good for you. Tell me about your those that came before you. Are you first generation, and what is it?
So I'm fourth generation.
Nice.
We started farming in, we think, 26. We're trying to figure that out. 1926.
Yeah.
My father passed away in 2010, and it was a lot of huge decisions to get made, and we've came from that, and tried to grow and do the right thing, and be proud of what we're doing.
Yeah. Tell me about your family.
So I'm married. My wife's name's Skyver. We're expecting a daughter in June.
Congrats.
And we have seven people, one seasonal, three H2A workers. And we have a pretty good group of guys. I really.
Nice. Nice. So what, I'm going to ask you about opportunities and challenges that you see, but let's go ahead and start with the challenges. What are the challenges that you've got lined up in front of you right now that you know need to be managed?
Well, it's just looking at a market that's not positive in any way.
Right.
It's just kind of day to day, and hope that we make the best of what we can make it. But on our operation specifically, we're looking at how we can improve land, how we can be efficient day to day.
Yeah. And improving the land's got to be a pretty big opportunity for you here too, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Stay right there, Dalton. Let's talk a little bit more. Joining us now, Kimberly Radcliffe, the winner of the Women in Ag Award here at TPS.
Thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's definitely an honor to be recognized in a space that I'm sure many women could be recognized.
Yeah, well,
they actually chose me as one of them.
You are deserving. I know that for a fact. Tell us about your operation.
Absolutely. So I am East Texas, and I like to kind of go back about how I end up at the operation, because I think that's a key figure about my operation. Mm-hmm. So I was in the financial institution for a long time, worked there. One day I kind of woke up and I said, there's some true disconnect between the financial institution and our rural America.
Yeah.
Everything in the financial institution is moving so fast, so quick, and they are kind of at a click of a finger can make a decision that can change the world of people and producers on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So one day I kind of woke up and I told my parents, I didn't even tell my parents, because the first thing they're going to say is, why do you want to go back home?
Yeah.
So I end up going to a school in Fort Worth called Texas Christian University Ranch and Management Program. And once I got accepted into that program, I told them I resigned from my job.
Wow. That's a commitment right at the gate, Kimberly.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
And they were kind of like, you resigned? At first, I told them I was coming home. And they're like, so what job did you get? So where are you employed now? I'm like, I'm not employed. I'm going to school.
Nice.
I'm going to school because I really felt like I have this business structure, but I needed a little more ag structure.
Okay.
To it before I came home. And I said, I'm going to school with my goal to come home.
Okay. Excellent. We've only got about a minute and a half left here, Kimberly. Okay. So your operation, what makes it unique?
So a unique thing about it is that I try to build a community. My operation is about community. I'm buying my cattle from my community. I'm buying my crops from my community. I'm processing from my community. So my goal is, how can I be an economic value to my community?
Yep.
So everything is there, and I'm employing community, but my community is feeding the world.
Because
there's only so much money I can circulate in that community. I got to go outside my community to make money to make my community prosper.
Where are you marketing to?
A lot of it is through some schools. I have 3 major schools in Texas at food banks, and I'm also going to East Coast route. Texas is kind of saturated with branded beef products.
Right.
But East Coast isn't. So I'm doing a lot of restaurant weeks across the East Coast, getting my name out there in many of the major restaurants, and really trying to get myself name on the East Coast side so we can kind of move the Texas beef to the East Coast.
Man, I'm looking forward to getting to know both of you more as time goes on. Again, well-deserved. Congratulations to both of you. Really appreciate you guys making time for us.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That is Dalton Dildine. He is the Next Gen Award winner. And Kimberly Ratcliffe, the Women in Ag winner. We're going to get Senator Marshall in here next here on AgriTalk.
Day one. Young people who take an active interest in their futures find a lot to like in FFA. As members of the FFA, they apply what they learn in the classroom and in the field to meet the challenges of 21st century agriculture. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute being brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union, taking pride in serving the community.
Whatever your industry or service, we know running your own business is a point of pride. Pride in serving the community and pride in building something greater. And at Wisconsin Credit Union, we take pride in helping you achieve it. By offering everything from business accounts to ACH services, business remote deposit and card processing. We also provide the latest online and mobile banking services to save you even more time. And because investing in your business is key to growing it, we provide great rates and fast local decision-making on loans. We even offer the convenience of applying for our Business Express loans online. But what truly sets us apart is the level of personal attention you'll receive from Wisconsin loan officers who really know the local business climate. Because, like you, we're also proud to be a part of it. To find out more about our business loans and services, just stop in or visit our website. Wisconsin Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender. Member eligibility required. Member NCUA.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine.
not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to Talk. We are live at Top Producer Summit in Kansas City. Glad that you could join us for our first morning of coverage from TPS. Davis?
Yeah.
I think we're going to be here tomorrow, too, aren't we?
I think we are.
We'll be here this afternoon and tomorrow.
I can barely focus right now. I'm about to go present my Grow Getters here just as soon as we're done here. I have no idea what you're even saying to me right now. I'm in a different place, but I'm super excited to be here.
I am glad that you're still sitting next to me, even though you're not right here. All right. Big thank you to BASF for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from TPS. And joining us right now, Scott Kay, VP of Ag Solutions at BASF. It's good to talk to you again.
Good seeing you.
All right. So VP of Ag Solutions includes plenty of innovation. And when we look at your side of the industry, farmers are looking for new innovations all the time, Scott.
Yeah, I think they're needed. You know, Mother Nature certainly hasn't given up. And so I think between trying to manage resistance, between all the weather events, whether you're, you know, disease or bugs or those sorts of things, I just think that farmers are in need of new technology. Our biggest struggle probably is the timeline to bring that innovation. So a lot of your listeners might not realize that it's the normal timeline to registration of about 10 years.
Yeah.
And but here recently, it's taking up to maybe 14 years with some of the new regulations
to get new chemistry through.
And so that's hopefully, you know, we're one of the first people through on the companies through on the Endangered Species Act.
Okay.
And so hopefully but there's no guarantees to that.
Okay. What have you learned about ESA? Because that's one of the topics that farmers are very cued in on right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be our way of life. And, you know, I think it's going to hopefully it'll be a new check and balance.
Okay.
But, you know, I think they'll just, you know, we'll have to spend a little more time training on what did they find. And, you know, there might be buffers and things like that. So maybe they experienced with their seed years ago. We had buffer in the bag, if you will. But I think it's gonna change to me. Hopefully we'll get in a rhythm to speed up. That's why I was really looking forward to our speaker today with the secretary and the senator Marshall from Kansas to hear, you know, what type of things are we gonna do to get things going.
Right, right. Very good. Yeah, we're kind of watching to see if Senator Marshall will walk past. He's was expected to join us here, but it sounds like Big Apple Joe, he's left the building. He's left the building is what it sounds like. So
one thing that I would just say, Chip, is that with BSF, we're highly committed. So if growers ask about our pipeline, we have $2.5 billion worth of future pipeline just in the U.S.
Two and a half billion.
What we equate to is every day the grower, we invest 11 cents every dollar that we earn back into research and development. And so BSF is highly committed. And that's both seeds, crop protection, seed treatment. And so I think it's, to me, there's plenty of technology.
Yeah.
And I think to me, we need to put it in the hands of the growers so they can start to utilize it.
Okay. All right. In the first conversation that we had earlier, you talked about let's not give up on a crop.
Yeah.
Okay. To me, when you say that, and I'm looking back at 2024, I'm going straight to the fungicides, right?
Yeah, I think we know that farmers started looking over their shoulder at the end of last season and hoping that they could cross the finish line without further investment.
Yep.
And I think they viewed it as cost. And man, I think that was just a big mistake I've had farmers tell me at this show that they're not going to make that same mistake twice. And I've had farmers, say that, I need my timing of my herbicide application also needs to get a lot better.
Yeah.
Because we all know what 6 inches looks like. And if this was a TV show, they'd see my hands are 2 feet apart. Right. And so we've got to get that timing a lot better.
Yeah. And so we've got the fungicide issue. We've also got talking about the resistance issues out there. What's new on that pipeline?
So at BSF, I think, we've HPPD resistance, and it's a lot of products that people have grown to love to use, but they just are missing on key broadleaf weeds like water hemp, which you've never heard before. Right. State flower in Iowa, where I'm from. Yeah. But I think there's just a lot that we, and there's ways we can just tweak their program.
Right.
We don't need a full scale change this year. We're just making one recommendation early. So you don't have to respray, which leads to more cost and loss of yield.
All right. Joining us right now is Paul Ray, Senior VP at BASF as well. Paul, the innovation side that you guys bring forward from BASF, it's kind of a core requirement from BASF, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Morning, Chip. Great to be here. It's definitely a long-term commitment that we have. I mean, BASF's been innovating in agriculture for well over 100 years, and innovation's at the core of what we do every day because we're excited about the future of agriculture.
Yeah.
We believe in the future of agriculture, and we know that foundation is based on new technology, innovations, doing things differently, doing things better. And so we see it an important part as being a partner to growers to bring new technology, to make those discoveries. It's a big commitment. So for every dollar that farmers spend with BASF, we put immediately back 10 cents of that back into research. And that accounts for about $1 billion a year of investment. So that's around, $3 million today, $3 million tomorrow. It's a lot of money. So I think farmers should see BASF as a partner in helping them farm even better and more sustainably and more productively in the future.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for the sponsorship of the show while we're down here. It's important conversations that we're having. I hope you learned something from the farmers this morning at the breakfast meeting.
Yeah.
Excellent. We certainly appreciate it. Paul Ray, Senior VP at BASF, and Scott Kay, VP of Ag Solutions at BASF. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you for listening this morning. We are off and running here in a big way at TPS. That is Top Producer Summit 2025. If you come back this afternoon, we're going to continue the conversation. We've got some other insights that are going on and other conversations. We'll also have a conversation, I believe, with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Shopping with your parents can be embarrassing.
Why would they sell jeans with holes in them? I'm going to speak to the manager.
Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies!
To...
How was shopping? Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids. Control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time. And skip the regular line at the airport and pay for speedy security. Imagine not having to quickly unpack and pack at the place you already came back to. And wearing your shoes the whole time you're there? You can't put a price on that kind of luxury. Well, actually, you can, and you paid for it. Switch to Progressive, and you could save big time. For speedy security. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Vatican says Pope Francis has been diagnosed with pneumonia.